raised by my grandmother. My mom was a teen mom. You know, my dad was in and out of prison and things like that. You know, struggled with addiction. My father did. My mom does as well. They still do to this very day. That's why God has placed people in my life to be my mom. Let's raise your hand and say hi, Tammy Tidd. And this is my mom. She is my spiritual mama, and God has given me her as well. Placed her in my life to help guide me and lead me and correct me and tell me be quiet when I have to be quiet. It's just what we have to do when we love people. And so, so what I'm going to share first is I've wrote a very thorough outline of things today because I have a message for you that I want to share, and I really feel like this is from the Lord. I know it's from the Lord. I walked through it. Okay, so first I'd like to share about, first I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray that you bless this message and that this message is only of you, Lord God, that everything else is outside of it, Lord God. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you for this Palm Sunday. We thank you for every single thing that you're doing in this church because I can see a great move of God. God, I ask that whoever has ears to hear, let them hear, Lord God, today what they need to hear. God, I ask whoever's tired and broken and moving and just going through so many different things today, Lord God, and even those of joy today, Lord God, I ask that you give them ears to hear. That right now, we loose angels around these walls. And God, we ask for a covering of our minds to just hear what you have for us and receive. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so I would like to share about the Brother and Sister Check mission and vision and what the goal is for that. You know, I was in addiction for many, many years on the streets. It was really, really bad to where I was shooting heroin and I was in bondage and my family were in bondage as well. And I didn't really have anybody to go ask, like, how do I get out of this? What do I do? You know? And so I was 33 years old and I was sitting in a room. It was back in 2017. I was sitting in a room. You know, my grandma had always told me about Jesus. My Aunt Sue even had I just was remembering this morning. I was just remembering this morning. My Aunt Sue had this King James Version Bible and she opened her back of her door van and she said, "Sissy, if you would just read this, it would change everything." And I was like, I can't understand none of that thee, thou, this, that. Grandma, Aunt Sue, I can't understand any of that. And so I wasn't trying to neither. I wasn't trying to ask the Lord to open my mind and give me a clear mind to understand it. I guess I'm just one of those people that God really had to break to make it happen. You know what I mean? And sometimes that's just how it is. So I decided I was... You know, I tried to commit suicide several times. I couldn't die. I was in psych units. I was in jail. But like I said, I was on a ventilator a couple times where I couldn't breathe on my own from taking Xanax and heroin together. And one time on 4th of July in 2015, and then in bringing the new year in 2015 to 16, I was on a ventilator again. And my poor, sweet grandma had to sit with me and hold my hand. But you know, God was sending people into my life to tell me about Jesus. To tell me about Jesus. You know, there was a man that I had met many years before, about when I was 21 years old, and he would help me from time to time to be able to take care of myself. And I would ask him, "Hey, can you tell me about this in the Bible, or can you tell me about that?" Because I don't know why I was asking them questions, because I was having him, he didn't know he was doing this, but I was on my way to the crack house, he was taking me there. Oh, that was just the truth. Why am I asking these questions about Jesus on my way, though? I think about that now, you know? But this morning, I decided I'm going to get on my knees before the Lord because I want to make sure that I can give this message to you the way the Lord has given it to me. And as I got on my knees, I started my journaling again this morning. Mama said, "You better journal this." I had to journal this one. I got on my knees. It has not been easy. And I'm going to be transparent with you guys. You asked to send me, Lord.
God's going to send you and he's going to break you on the way. Because there's so much more than you. It's not even about you. I got on my knees this morning. And I said, God, I repent. And I am sorry for making it about me at all, Lord. Because it's not about me. Because it's not my testimony. It's his. It's not my testimony, it's his. And as I got on my knees at the end of my bed, I looked up at the cross that hangs above my bed. And I closed my eyes and I bowed my head and the Lord let me see heaven. I got to look into heaven and I was listening to a Chris Tomlin song, Amazing Grace. And at the end of the song, all these people started clapping and cheering. And I saw my grandma and my Aunt Sue standing there in front of a group of people. And they were clapping and they were cheering. It was the great cloud of witnesses cheering for me. You go and you share what God has done. You go and you share what God has done. Because I am worthy of it all. I am worthy of God's goodness and of God's grace. I am worthy to have the life that I deserve. I thought my parents didn't love me. Well, I'm not the only one. I thought they didn't care. I didn't realize they were so enslaved in bondage. Like the Israelites, that they couldn't even get out. They didn't even know the difference. How were they going to lead me when they couldn't lead their self? And if they have a leader that's double-minded their self, how are they being led? And as your generation goes on, it just gets worse and it gets worse. It started with giving into temptation. And I believe it probably started in my great-great-grandma. When they were given into temptation and things like that, right? And my grandma was smoking cigarettes. And that's a form of giving into temptation. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, for there is no temptation known to man that God is faithful. And with God's faithfulness, he will also provide a way out, which with you can endure it. To where you can endure it. So Brother and Sister Check was founded in 2022 to come alongside of people that do not know how to do that. I went out to the House of Grace, and after going to the House of Grace Recovery Home in 2017, the Lord worked on me and he delivered me out because I put myself down. I put myself down and I allowed Tammy and I allowed people to come in and speak into me and tell me, this is what you need to change. I changed my teacher. I stopped looking at my mom and dad and I started looking at Tammy and I started looking at Jesus. I started looking at Tammy and I started looking at Jesus. So Brother and Sister Check, like I said, well, I got to scoot back a little bit. After graduating the House of Grace, I had a burden on my heart. And I'm going to share this because I'm not going to mess with that because that's my message. So our mission is we are a Christian outreach. It is our mission to enlighten, educate, and empower men and women who are trapped in the strongholds of the world. We have set out to glorify God by reaching people in every season of life with hope and empowerment. Our vision is to disciple and empower men and women through God's word who have been caught in the strongholds of the world and equip them to live a transformed life that glorifies God. And so what we have is we have a prison ministry, and like Pastor was saying, he is on my board, and so is Nancy Wethington. They are both on my board, yes. Very grateful for them and for what God is doing through them on this. Nancy helps us at the Sister Check Next Step Transition Home. There's many people that come alongside and do that. We have currently 4 women. Currently, 3 of them have came from the House of Grace. But when I left the House of Grace, I did have a burden on my heart for women to, for the women there, because I was standing in a field next between the Trinity Chapel and the House of Grace, and God told me to start a ministry. I said, God, I wouldn't even know what to call it. All I'm doing is checking on my sisters, because I was going back to there, and I was mentoring the ladies, and I was just helping Tammy how I could. And I was being poured into, and I needed to be there too, though, you know? And so I said, I wouldn't even know what to call it. All I'm doing is checking on my sisters. And God said, call it Sister Check. And so Sister Check came to life in 2023, the Next Step Transition Home did. But Sister Check came to life in, I think, like 2021. I can't really remember. It was a Facebook page at first where I was just empowering women. And then we have a transition home, though, for women. And now I go into the prison and I empower women. I also do the Summer Slam, like you were talking about. We do that, led by the Lord. It's many of us. I got many volunteers. It's a team of people that love Jesus so much, and they are empowered. They're empowered themselves, and they've done so much in that. Debbie has helped with that. Debbie has helped with the in a great way. Thank you, Debbie. But I would like to show the video, if I can, of the Summer Slam to show you guys what it is that we do. Okay, this Summer Slam is going to be August 22nd from noon to 3. And what God has told me to do with that is grab the elders of the church, go out, have an event, have some free hot dogs. But most of all, lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, baptize, raise the dead, whatever it says, the same as Jesus did in the Bible. I am not starting nothing new. This has been around for thousands of years. I just saw the word of God and I said, that's what we need to do. The Holy Spirit quickened me and said, that's it. Go out, lay hands on, because I believe. Because the Lord delivered me from addiction, depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts. Because the Lord delivered me out. You know, and I have a burden on my heart. This message is not going no way the way I thought it was going to go. Thank you, Jesus. So, I have some questions that the Lord, you know, hey, this isn't on me. This, if you want to ask anybody about this, I want you to take it to God, okay? I'm just the messenger. So, is fear stopping you from building the life God has called you to build? That's what the Lord wants me to ask you guys today. And that's not like, oh, an extravagant ministry. Not everybody's called to build an extravagant ministry. Some people are called to just take care of their babies because that's their greatest ministry. Some people, and that's not just called, that's called. That's a big deal. I started at Trinity Chapel, and I was a broken girl, and I was prayed over there when I went there. I cleaned the toilets because we were forced to. No, I cleaned the toilets there. And you know what? I did everything as if I did it under the Lord because I had a group of girls with me there, right? I had a group of girls that we were sent. There were six of us. We were sent over to the church because we were in the program, and we were told, this is what we need to do is clean it. And I was looking at it, and I'm like so grateful. Do you know how honored I am to have cleaned those toilets? And to preach in their pulpit. Yes. What an honor that is to touch every part of their church. And it's not just theirs. It's God's. Amen. It's God's. I would still clean the toilets. We still must clean the toilet. That's not a bad job. That's a ministry. That is a ministry. That is what we are called to do is love one another and therefore carry each other's burdens. Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. The reason that I bring that up is because everything that we do is in the spiritual realm. Every battle that we face, every war that is won, it's one in the spiritual realm. Do you know that God wants to restore, heal, and build your life in abundance? The enemy is going to come against you in many ways when you're rebuilding your life. You must stay focused, and you must stand on God's promises and on God's word. The enemy wants to try to take you out and take everyone around you out. Everyone around you. If the devil hasn't taken something from you, then you must, if the devil has taken something from you, then you must go after it. And that's what the enemy did to me, is the enemy took things from me. Three words that God gave me for you guys today. Restore, revive, and rebuild. restore, revive, and rebuild. When you pray God's will over everything in your life, expect for it to fall apart. And it's not falling apart, it's actually falling into place. Restore. The scriptures that I would like to share with you on restore are Psalms 51:12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Psalm 51:12. Joel 2:25. I will repay to you the years that the locusts have eaten. That's restoration right there. God restored to me the years that the locusts have eaten. Acts 3:21 speaks of the time for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. 1 Peter 5:10, after you have suffered a little while, him himself will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. I feel that in my soul. Revive. The biblical version of revive means to restore, renew, or bring back to life. To bring back to life. That's what God wants to do today, is he wants to bring you back to life. Bring back the things and the years that the locusts have eaten. There's things that God wants to do today. There are things that the Lord wants to move in your life today. And Holy Spirit, I need you to help me with this. Rebuilding isn't ever easy. When you rebuild every single thing in your life. You know, I didn't know any different. I didn't know what I was going to do. And like I said, I had a burden for these girls. I had a burden on my heart. Sorry, I cannot let the enemy mess this up. He wants to stop what we are doing here. And I can tell from the very beginning. Because there's been a great move of God here today. Amen. And it's not by our might and it's not by our power, but it's by the power of the living God. And that's just it. In Isaiah 40, verse 3, starting there, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. When I am telling you about rebuilding and restoring, right there it is. Every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked place shall be made straight, and the rough place smooth, and the glory of God shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness like the flowers of the field. The grass wither, the flowers fade, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people of the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. And that's it. You know what I'm here to tell you? And this isn't going to be easy for some of you to tell you this, okay? For you to hear this. But this is facts. You see this war and the rumors of war happening? Do you see the disease and the sickness? Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back, and we need to prepare the way for the Lord. All of it's done. All the show and all the shiny stuff, it's done. It's done. This jacket's really cute, okay? But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't need it to be up here to tell you what I'm telling you today. I'm telling you that Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for a spotless bride. He is coming back for a spotless bride. And I'm telling you in your personal life, I am not here to scream at you or tell you those. I'm telling myself. Amen. I'm preaching this to me too. The Lord is coming back. One day these clouds are going to split. One day us as the church, we're going to meet him in the sky. Are we doing everything we can on a daily basis to make sure that our loved ones see the goodness of God? Are we speaking to them? Are we putting our pride aside? Because that's hard for me sometimes. I'm going a whole different route here. Thank you, Jesus. There's someone here that needs to talk to their children. There's someone here that needs to tell their children they love them and put their pride down. And put their pride down. And I don't know who that is. Someone here needs to tell them, I love you, and I'm going to put my pride aside because I want to lead you to Christ. I know you're not going to do everything right, and trust me, I know this because I've went through it. I know you're not going to do everything right. And I know you're going to make some mistakes, but I'm not going to get you to heaven by hardening my heart and telling you what you need to do. I'm going to get you to heaven by telling you, I love you. I know you're going to make some mistakes, and if you don't change from it, you're going to go to hell, and I'm scared. Because I know heaven and hell are real. I fought my way out of hell. I fought my way out of hell here on earth. Had demons attacking me even after I was saved. Even after I was saved because they were attached to my parents. I had to relinquish my parents. The people that gave birth to me, I had to cut ties from them spiritually. That's called a spiritual tie. And you have to relinquish. They're yours, God. I'm going to honor them and I'm going to love them. And I better do that by stepping away because I mean them no good right now. I cannot lead my leaders to Christ like that. Only way I can do it is like I shared with you. I can't get in there. It's Ephesians 6:12, like I said. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the wicked host. In this realm, in the spiritual realm. Lord, help me. In the spiritual realm. And so how you're going to do that is you're going to do that by going in after him and, you know, saying, Father, I need you to forgive me. I need you to forgive me because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. But God, I need you to go in after my mom and dad. I need you to shake them up in the name of Jesus and tear down walls. I don't care what you do. Break their heart for what breaks yours, Lord God. I want you to go in after them, Lord. I want you to shake them up because I want them to see heaven just like I believe my grandma prayed over me. I don't care if she dies and loses her life tonight, Lord God. I want you to save her soul. I want you to save her soul because I believe that's what it had to take. I believe that's what it had to take because I was doing things unspeakable things. But that's not the only bad. You know, there's a lot of people rising up out of addiction and depression and suicide. There's a lot of people rising up out of it. But that's because Jesus is about to return. His spirit has fallen on his people. And he's waking us up. He's calling us forth. He's calling us forth. So I had a burden for my people. You know, God's been the same for thousands of years. He's never changed. He's the same today, tomorrow, and yesterday. He's the same. Okay, and it says in Nehemiah, I'm going to start in Nehemiah 3. And they said to him, or they said to me, I'm sorry, let me go back. Spirit is moving all over me. When that happens, I get a little bit off in my mind. Nehemiah 1, I am going to start verse 3. And they said to me, their survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. This is Nehemiah, okay? The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, pray, I pray, Lord. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayers of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servant, your servants, and confess the sins of your children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. God, I confess our sins, the children of the United States, Lord God, and I call you forth, Lord God. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinance which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray the word that you commanded your servants Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to a place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now there are servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power, by your strong hand. Amen. Amen. And I speak that it's the United States. It's the United States. That's where we're at. It has fallen. There are things happening. Like I said, this is going a completely different way than than I had planned with the Lord. But a man plans his ways, right? But the Lord will determine his steps. This mission that Nehemiah was sent to do, he was burdened. He had a burden on his heart. And my ministry is called Brother and Sister Check Ministries. We have set out to empower God's people. God has placed a burden on my heart for the church. For the church. That's not the people sitting just in here. That's the people that believe in Jesus Christ. That is who the church is. And I have came to empower God's people. And I want to empower you today to tell you that Jesus is coming back. Nehemiah was sent on a mission. He was sent on a mission to rebuild these walls in Jerusalem because he saw a bunch of rubble. He saw where the temple had been built back in Ezra. He had saw where the temple had been built, and he knew his people needed protection. And I know that God's people need protection. You know, and there were people that came against Nehemiah and what he was doing in his mission. They told him to come down. They sent a message telling him to come down from his building. You know, Nehemiah prayed and he fasted and he put people in their places. He did it very slowly in specific light. And a lot of people believe that the Old Testament has died. But if you believe that, then why am I here to tell you the same thing that the Word says, that God is the same today, tomorrow, and yesterday. The Old Testament has not died. God still wants you to follow his commandments. Jesus even said it in the New Testament. And so Nehemiah started building and putting things in place and had people have to work with their swords on their side as they're building and they're putting things in place to protect the people from robbers and from thieves. You know, and I'm picturing this in my mind and I'm like, God, I know you're giving me things step by step. I know you're telling me to do this and put this in place and do that, but God, I feel like I'm wrong, and I've got to share this with the church today because you've got to wake up. I'm here to tell you that God works in people differently. And the church, some people in the church discouraged me a little bit. I felt discouraged. I felt I wasn't doing what God told me to do. I felt I wasn't doing it right. I felt confused and I became double-minded. And I had to repent and ask the Lord to forgive me Send me back on the mission you sent me on from the very beginning, Lord God, and give me piece by piece, because it's going to take time. But you know why it is? Because this is my entire life. I said, Lord, send me, and he sent me, and he's given me piece by piece, okay? It's not about me, though. I might be sad in my flesh, but it's not about me. I said, Lord, send me. And when you ask the Lord to send you, he's going to do it. He's going to say, great, thank you, faithful servant, because I need a vessel, because you are the body of Christ. And there were some in the church that discouraged me because they weren't speaking life. They were speaking death. And there's some people, and I'm just telling you this because we need to be an encouragement to one another. I am here to correct some things. I may have came from the streets, but so did Paul. Paul came from a place of brokenness, killing Christians. He felt he was not worthy. I did too. Just like Moses, I stutter reading the Bible. Did you hear me? I still try, though, and I'm not giving up. But like I said, it's not about me. I share these things with you to tell you God wants to use your brokenness to preach to people that need healing. That God wants to use your brokenness and your imperfection. Everybody has got to stop looking at the perfect stuff in the Bible, because guess what? I'm here to tell you, it's rubble. It's all rubble. God uses the broken people. He doesn't use the perfect people. He wants what's broken in you. He wants what's broken in you. But there were people that did not like what Nehemiah was doing, like I had shared before. But then it goes on in chapter 3, talking about how Nehemiah was putting people in their positions, like I was sharing with you. And he was placing them, because I believe this, that God was telling him where to place people. Nehemiah and all of the workers with him faced many adversities. Then in chapter 6, it goes on to saying, it discusses where Nehemiah's enemies, Sanballat and his friends, tried to get him to come down off the wall. But Nehemiah told them, I cannot come down because I am doing a great work. I am doing a great work. That's what he had said. I tell them I am not coming down. He knew what they wanted to do. He knew they wanted to stop what God was doing. He knew that they wanted to discourage you. He knew what they were doing. He knew also this. Jesus, I thank you for what you have done, and the deliverance that you have brought, and the kingdom that you are building, Lord God. God, I thank you for what you are doing. But you know what God also knew? God also knew that he was going to send people to help him. He sent people to help him build that wall, and he had that wall built in 52 days. Do you know they sat with that rubble on that ground? I think it was 140 years, was it? Is that right, Emily? Amen. For 140 years. I'm here to tell you that it don't matter how long them broken pieces have sat there. Come on. We're leaving it there. Come on. It don't matter how long them broken pieces have sat there. It don't matter how broken it gets, because God wants to restore it. It does not matter how long that you have been broken. It don't matter how long that you have been down. It is not too late for you. It is not too far gone. You can pick up the pieces and start rebuilding today. Today, today, God wants to help you rebuild that. And how are you going to... What are you going to do to start building? Who are you going to rely on? You're going to rely on the chief cornerstone, the stone the builders rejected, the chief cornerstone. That's where you're going to start building, right there. Right there, you're going to start building it, and you're going to take the cornerstone. Do you know why they chose the cornerstone?
Do you know why? Because the cornerstone is what holds up the entire foundation. The entire foundation. And Jesus is our cornerstone. Jesus is our cornerstone. And when we lay our flesh aside and we say no more, no more, you lay your flesh aside and you say, I will not let my flesh destroy friendships. I will not let my flesh destroy my kids and send my kids to hell, because I've been chosen to lead them to heaven. I have been chosen to lead them to heaven. So God, I ask today that whatever it is, Lord God, that has brought my flesh in the way, Lord God, I ask you to remove it in the name of Jesus, that today that wall comes down. That whatever it takes to rebuild a life that was broken, that today God's going to restore it in the name of Jesus. That in the name of Jesus, God's going to restore it. Pastor, can I call people forth? Is that okay for prayer? Is that okay? If there's anybody today that is struggling with a relationship, and they know that there's things that need to be rebuilt, or if you're struggling with something in yourself that you need to be rebuilt, it can be health, it can be anything. Today, God wants to deliver you from that. He wants to deliver you from yourself. That's a hard one to come forth on, right? I say it first, though. There's things I have struggled with that I would not let myself be delivered. I would not let myself be free from. And I sat in the bondage of it because I thought it had to be my way. And until I repented and I said, God, I need you. I need you to remove this from me. I need you to restore me. If there's somebody that needs prayer for a relationship, I ask you to come forward so I can pray with you, so Pastor can pray with you. Any of us can pray with you. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, do you know, a lot of you saw me on my knees this morning because I was in the front row. You know, when they started singing Blessings, which is a scripture from Numbers, I speak that over my son because God hasn't fully restored that. That's not a full restoration. There's still pain in his heart from my past and my addiction and the things that I'd done and left him. There's still pain in my heart from that. There's still pain in his heart from that. And today, I got on my knees because the Lord kept saying, go to the altar, go to the altar, go to the altar. And I was like, but God, I'm preaching today. Right? Little liar devil. Let him back there telling me all them lies, right? And I said, well, God, if they see me up here on my knees, they're going to think it's for a show. No. But people do it. But people do it, right? Yes. It's the lies of the devil. I know, Emily. I wouldn't be calling myself, you know? But like, and so I said, but God said, what if you didn't get on your knees and I tell you right now something's going to break? What if you didn't come up here and get that prayer? And it just so happens that God wants to break something today. I said, God, I'm going to get on my knees then because I want to make sure that that breaks off of me. I leave my son right here, Lord God. I leave my son right here because of the blessings on my children and my children's children. I came after a curse that was on my family. There was a curse on my family. Was a curse on my family. It no longer touches my children or me. No longer. I do not struggle with addiction. I do not struggle with depression. There is not a struggle. I come against it and I fight it with the word of God, just like Jesus did in the Bible. When the enemy told him to turn those stones into bread, go throw yourself off a mountain. Jesus has already shown you guys this stuff. He's shown us this stuff. That even the devil tried to come against him and tell him, don't do it. Just stop there. Just sit there. But what if you got up in faith and action and God wants to restore and you're not too young? There's no one too young here. If you have something you want to restore, you stand up and you get prayed over. I am not trying to pressure nobody, but I'm going to tell you what the Lord is telling me.
God, I want to thank you. God, I want to thank you for what you're doing here today, Lord God. And in faith, sister, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. That God wants to do that work, that right now, your faith, you stepping up here, right now, God, that's it. It's broken. You know that? Because you have fought long enough that now God wants to break that right now in Jesus' name. And it is broken. Because of your faith, I don't even have to pray for it. Your faith did it. The woman with the issue of blood, she knew. She knew that if she pressed through that crowd, people told her about Jesus. She knew that if she pressed through that crowd, that Jesus was going to heal her. She knew it, and so she pressed through that crowd. Because it's hard to get up. It is hard to get up because we are fighting the enemy. Ephesians 6:12, we are fighting the devil. It is hard for us to stand up. But today, that's it. It's broken. I'm going to still pray with you because I feel led to. Right? But there's so much more God's going to do in this. Right now, God's going to restore. And in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you for the restoration that you have brought in my sister's life, Lord God. That right now, Lord God, we lay that down completely, Lord Jesus God. And we ask that, Lord God, you go in after them, Lord Jesus God. This is not just for her, for whoever had trouble coming forth. Devil, I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Get thee behind me. If you did not want to come forth, that is okay. God can do a work right where you're at. And right now, in the name of Jesus, God, we receive that healing, Lord Jesus God. We receive that healing, and we ask, Lord God, that you go in after those people, Lord God. God, that you begin to restore right now that relationship. Lord God, that you restore that. We are believing for restoration. God, I believe, Lord God, but help my unbelief. Lord God, I believe, but I need you, Lord God, to help my unbelief in this. God, I need you to help my unbelief. And when the enemy tries to tell me it's not being restored because things get hard, Lord God, I need you to fix my eyes on you and remember that we are not fighting flesh and blood. I need you to send me into the spiritual realm, Lord God, to come against the devil and against everything that's trying to take my kids to hell in the name of Jesus. I cast you down off our children in Jesus' name. You hold no power, devil. Our kids will see the goodness of God. In the land of the living, God, we receive that today. We ask, Lord God, that you loose angels over our children and over our loved ones, Lord God, that we are having these battles with, Lord God. We ask that we repent, Lord God, and that you heal our heart and soften our heart towards them, Lord Jesus God. But we ask that you send in angels after them, Lord God. We leave it right here at this altar today, Lord Jesus God, for you to pick up. For you to pick that up, God, and go in after them. Because I know you've done it before, and I know you'll do it again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.